Violet checked her siblings' handiwork and finally gave the whole rope a satisfied tug. "I think this should hold us," she said. "I only hope it's long enough." "Why don't we drop the rope down the shaft," Klaus said, "and listen to see if it hits the bottom. Then we'll know for sure." "Good idea," Violet replied, and walked to the edge of the passageway. She threw down the edge of the furthermost extension cord, and the children watched as it disappeared into the blackness, dragging the rest of the Baudelaire's line with it. The coils of cord and pull and necktie unwound quickly, like a long snake waking up and slithering down into the shaft. It slithered and slithered and slithered, and the children leaned forward as far as they dared and listened as hard as they could. Finally they heard a faint, faint clink, as if the extension cord had hit a piece of metal, and the three orphans looked at one another. The thought of climbing down all that distance in the dark, on an ersatz rope they had fashioned themselves, made them want to turn around and run all the way back to their beds and pull the blankets over their heads. The siblings stood together at the edge of this dark and terrible place, and wondered if they really dared to begin the climb. The Baudelaire rope had made it to the bottom, but would the Baudelaire children? "Are you ready?" Klaus asked finally.
"No,"
Sunny answered. "Me neither," Violet said. "But if we wait until we're ready, we'll be waiting for the rest of our lives. Let's go." Violet tugged one last time on the rope and carefully, carefully lowered herself down the passageway. Klaus and Sunny watched her disappear into the darkness as if some huge, hungry creature had eaten her up.
"Come on,"
they heard her whisper from the blackness.
"It's okay."
Klaus blew on his hands, and Sunny blew on hers, and the two younger Baudelaires followed their sister into the utter darkness of the elevator shaft, only to discover that Violet had not told the truth. It was not okay. It was not half okay. It was not even 1/27th okay. The climb down the shadowy passageway felt like falling into a deep hole at the bottom of a deep pit on the bottom floor of a dungeon that was deep underground, and it was the least okay situation the Baudelaires had ever encountered. Their hands gripping the line was the only thing they saw, because even as their eyes adjusted to the darkness, they were afraid to look anywhere else, particularly down. The distant clink at the bottom of the line was the only sound they heard, because the Baudelaires were too scared to speak. And the only thing they felt was sheer terror, as deep and as dark as the passageway itself, a terror so profound that I have slept with 4 nightlights ever since I visited 667 Dark Avenue and saw this deep pit that the Baudelaires climbed down. But I also saw, during my visit, what the Baudelaire orphans saw when they reached the bottom after climbing for more than 3 terrifying hours. By then, their eyes had adjusted to the darkness, and they could see what the bottom of their line was hitting when it was making that faint clinking sound. The edge of the farthest extension cord was bumping up against a piece of metal. All right, a metal lock. The lock was secured around a metal door, and the metal door was attached to a series of metal bars that made up a rusty metal cage. By the time my research led me to this passageway, the cage was empty and had been empty for a very long time, but it was not empty when the Baudelaires reached it. As they arrived at the bottom of this deep and terrifying place, the Baudelaire orphans looked into the cage and saw the huddled and trembling figures of Duncan and Isadora Quagmire.